Day 10. Animals. The first down team for this planet must have had a fixation on animals. Horse, bear, eagle. For 3 days we were creeping down the east coast of Equus over an irregular coastline called the Main. We've spent the last day making the crossing of a short span of the Middle Sea to a large island called Cat Key. Today we are offloading passengers and freight at Felix, the major city of the island. From what I can see from the observation promenade and the mooring tower, there can't be more than 5,000 people living in that random collection of hovels and barracks. Next, the ship will make its 800-kilometer crawl down a series of smaller islands called the Nine Tails, and then take a bold leap across 700 kilometers of open sea and the equator. The next land we see, then, is the northwest coast of Aquila, the so-called Beak. Animals. To call this conveyance a passenger dirigible is an exercise in creative semantics. It is a huge lifting device, with cargo holds large enough to carry the town of Felix out to sea and still have room for thousands of bales of fiber plastic. Meanwhile, the less important cargo, we passengers, make do where we can. I have set up a cot near the aft loading portal and made a rather comfortable niche for myself with my personal luggage and 3 large trunks of expedition gear. Near me is a family of 8. Indigene plantation workers returning from a biannual shopping expedition of their own to Keats. And although I do not mind the sound or scent of their caged pigs, or the squeal of their food hamsters, the incessant, confused crowing of their poor, befuddled rooster is more than I can stand some nights. Animals! Day 11. Dinner tonight in the salon above the promenade deck with citizen Haramis Denzel, a retired professor from a small planters' college near Endymion. He informed me that the Hyperion first down team had no animal fetish after all. The official names of the 3 continents are not Equus, Ursa, and Aquila, but Creighton, Allinson, and Lopez. He went on to say that this was in honor of 3 middle-level bureaucrats in the old survey service. Better the animal fetish. It is after dinner. I am alone on the outside promenade to watch the sunset. The walkway here is sheltered by the forward cargo modules, so the wind is little more than a salt-tinged breeze. Above me curves the orange and green skin of the dirigible. We are between islands. The sea is a rich lapis, shot through with verdant undertones, a reversal of sky tones. A scattering of high cirrus catches the last light of Hyperion's too small sun and ignites like burning coral. There is no sound except for the faintest hum of the electric turbines. 300 meters below, the shadow of a huge, manta-like undersea creature keeps pace with the dirigible. A second ago, an insect or bird the size and color of a hummingbird, but with gossamer wings 1 meter across, paused 5 meters out to inspect me, before diving toward the sea with folded wings. Edward, I feel very alone tonight. It would help if I knew you were alive. Still working in the garden, writing evenings in your study. I thought my travels would stir my old beliefs in St. Teilhard's concept of the God in whom the Christ of evolution, the personal and the universal, the en haut and the en avant are joined. But no such renewal is forthcoming. It is growing dark. I am growing old. I feel something, not yet remorse, that my sin of falsifying the evidence on the Armagas dig. But, Edward, Your Excellency, If the artifacts had indicated the presence of a Christ-oriented culture there, 600 light-years from old Earth, almost 3,000 years before man left the surface of the home world. Was it so dark a sin to interpret such ambiguous data in a way which could have meant the resurgence of Christianity in our lifetime? Yes, it was. But not, I think, because of the sin of tampering with the data, but the deeper sin of thinking that Christianity could be saved.